Again, together we are going to look into the Word of God and see once what God would teach us. And my, my, the Bible is such a wonderful book that we never cease to marvel at what we learn from the Bible. It's particularly in our day, because it's in our day that God is opening up all that He wishes for us, for mankind to know. And since time is running out, the rate of learning from the Bible has greatly increased, so that we are learning and learning and learning very, very rapidly. And of course, every time we learn something, we lay a larger foundation for the next thing we're going to learn. We keep building on that foundation. It gets stronger and stronger, and we become more and more we find more and more harmony and cohesiveness in what the Bible is teaching, so that we really marvel at what God is giving us in this day. Now we've been in Jeremiah 31 for quite a while, as we have been patiently going through the book of Jeremiah. We started long, long, long ago in Jeremiah chapter 1, and we're up to Jeremiah 31, we've learned so much as we've been going along. But then we finally came into Jeremiah 31, and I'm going to read again verse 32 and down through verse 34. Behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, saith Jehovah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Jehovah. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Jehovah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And as soon as we got into that verse, those verses, several studies back, we immediately had to pause and take a big detour to learn what in the world is this covenant, because that is a buzzword that has been used in many, many congregations and denominations without really understanding what it is. But when we worked at this very seriously and carefully through the Bible, we found that the covenant is the Bible. The covenant is the gospel. The covenant is the Word of God. The covenant is the law of God, as it is set forth in the Bible. We learned that the covenant was given in two parts. The first part is what is called the Old Testament. The word testament, remember, and covenant are the same word in actuality. They're synonyms, speaking of the same thing. And the first part was the writing of the covenant began in 1447 B.C. by Moses, as God gave him the Ten Commandments and law after law after law that has finally become the first five books of the Bible. And then it was continued for the next more than 1,000 years. The writing of the Old Covenant was continued all the way until the days of Esther, and in the year 391 B.C., when we work through the timeline of history, we know that last entrance was made into the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. At the same time, during that period of time, the truths of the covenant, of what had been written down, were only faintly known to the people who lived during that period of time. It was not God's timetable to reveal truth to them all the way. And secondly, they did not have all the information in front of them. Then remember that in the year 33 AD, Christ was crucified, and during the next 60 years or so, approximately, God put into writing the rest of the written Word of God, the written covenant, which we call the New Testament. And that was finally completed about the year 95 AD. And that is it. The Bible is, and the Bible alone is the covenant. Now, incidentally, we also learn that the covenant is not just for some people, just people who might hear the Word of God. Actually, the covenant has to do with the whole human race. We remember we looked in Isaiah 24, where the whole human race, as they break the law of God, are covenant breakers. We also learned that the key to the whole covenant is the matter of salvation, that the sign of the covenant was circumcision, which was pointing to the fact that Christ would cut off the sins of those that he came to save, who finally would be looked upon as the inheritors of the covenant, or which is also called the will of God, or who would come in God's sight as being those who have not broken the covenant because Christ has paid for all of their sins. Well, we're not going to go back through that material. We've already gone through it in some detail, but the big piece of information that we've learned in this last few weeks, or the last few studies, the big piece of information is that it is in our day that God is revealing to us the truths of the covenant. They've always been there in writing in the Bible, but he's opened our minds and hearts to the truths of the covenant in a way that has never been before. God in the covenant itself declared in Daniel chapter 12, for example, seal this up for the time of the end. Now we looked in Hebrews chapter 8, right, where God is emphasizing, and again, we're not going to go into detail about this, but just to bring us up to date on this, that in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 8 declares, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. That is looking at when he began to build the New Testament, or write the New Testament, the Old Testament is finding fault with it, remember, only because God had not opened the spiritual eyes of people to understand very clearly what was God's salvation plan. But then he finally says in verse 8, and this is a key verse, for finding fault with them. Now that them refers to the whole Bible, the whole covenant. How can God find fault with it? Only in the sense that it was not an open revelation yet. It was written about, but remember, the law of God is not a man-made law that only has human, earthly meaning to it. The law of God is a spiritual law, and until God himself applies to our understanding what God is saying, we really don't understand. In other words, the Bible is just not a book for anybody to read and know all about salvation. It's necessary that because the Bible is a spiritual book, that God has to work in the mind and in the heart of that individual to open his spiritual eyes. And the combination of God working in his heart, with the working with the law of God itself, as it's written in the Word of God, truth comes. And that, and it was not God's plan until the end of the world, to the time in which we're living, that He would open our spiritual eyes. A veil rested over the Word of God, if you will. And in that sense, he can find fault with it, because God had not taken the veil off yet. But now in our day, He's taken off the veil, and so He refers to that in verse 8. For finding fault with them, He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will, and the translators, of course, didn't have the knowledge that we have, and so they found this word make here in the Greek was the word finish. Well, what in the world could that mean? This was finished. This Bible was finished 2,000 years ago, or when they were translating this, it was finished already 1,400 years earlier, and so they didn't know what to do with that, so they put the word make, when in actuality, and this always pleases me so much. You know, when we're looking at the original Greek or the original Hebrew, we know that is from the mouth of God. We never question and say, boy, I wonder if that Greek word is wrong. I wonder if that Hebrew word is wrong. We never have to have that idea at all. We can ask, I wonder if the translator is right. I wonder if they translated this correctly. Yes, we can ask those questions, but never, I wonder if the Greek word that this translator used is the wrong word or the Hebrew word. We know that is solid from the mouth of God, and the consequence is that repeatedly when we are looking at difficult verses and we just can't figure out how to fit them into the whole gospel program or into the teaching of the rest of the Bible, and then finally, God opens our eyes and we see, wait a minute, He put that word there because it fits perfectly with the teaching that He's making over in this other place in the Bible, and we rejoice. Yes, again, it's because God has given us an absolutely trustworthy book. Just in the original languages, but it's absolutely trustworthy. We never have to, or ever should, question the original Hebrew or the original Greek. All right, so now He's saying here, in verse 8, when I will finish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. In other words, the covenant, remember, is only of total value when God not only has written it, but has also opened our eyes to it. That is, He's taken the veil off of it. And now He is finishing the covenant, not in the sense that He is writing more information. That's all there. It's all here. But there's a veil over it. But in our day, He is making this covenant that was written off, completed 2,000 years ago, He is making it relevant. He is making it so we can understand the truth of it. He is finishing the application of this covenant. This is the wonderful time in which we're living. And that is why during these past years, as we're living in this end time situation, as we're learning more and more about the closing years and months and days of the history of the world, we're finding that our understanding is growing and growing and growing. And it's God's plan that everything God wants us to know from the Bible, I say wants us to know, He's not going to teach. There are the hidden things like we read in Deuteronomy 29:29, the nature of God, for example. God has not given us brains or a mind or an ability or anything else, nor is it His goal. From everything I can read in the Bible, we can't tie it together. How can there be one God and yet be revealed as three distinct persons? We can't understand that. How can we understand a God who can speak and bring this tremendous creation in all of its complexity and detail into existence. We can't understand that. When we get into the arena or the area of God Himself, forget it. Forget it. But when He's talking about the application of His gospel program to this world and to our hearts, yes, there's all kinds of information that God wants us to know before the end comes. And right now it's just pouring out of the Bible, just pouring out of the Bible as we search and search the Bible. And so He's finishing a new covenant. Now right in the next sentence, or the next, in verse 10, He says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days." Now, any time before, that word "after those days" wouldn't have any meaning any more than "I will finish the covenant." But we have learned, as we've been going through Jeremiah, "after those days" is a clue phrase that is dealing with the Great Tribulation period, the time in which we're living. Just as, hold your finger there and go back to Jeremiah chapter 31. You'll find that this is now quoting Jeremiah 31, where we read there in verse 33, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Jehovah. I will put my law in their inward parts," and so on. Now notice that it's exactly what is said here in verse 10. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." And then as God is introducing us don't neglect the assembling together of ourselves, for example, down in Hebrews chapter 10, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, He says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but comforting or exhorting, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And we've learned a long time ago that this has to do with our day, with our day. Now we have the absolute proof, because ahead of that, He says in verse 16 of Hebrews 10, He repeats what He is saying in Hebrews 8 here. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them," and so on. We're not going through Hebrews right now, but and another time we will do that. But the point is that it's after those days are these days. We are now in the final end. This was very clearly set up for us as we've been going through the first 31 chapters of Jeremiah. Again and again, we saw that there's a big break that occurred, and we identified that with the year 1994, when God, it began in the year 1988, which was the end of the church age, and then it really picked up steam in a wonderful way in 1994, when God again poured out His Holy Spirit and began the final ingathering in the world. But now let's look at what He's saying here in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, or we can read it in Jeremiah 31. It's exactly the same language. "For this is the covenant," I'm reading verse 10 of Hebrews 8, "this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Now the next sentence is really something. "And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." Going back to Jeremiah 31, we find that God said the same thing there. And so He's picked it up in the book of Hebrews because of the great importance of this, notice in verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Jehovah, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Now God is saying, I am finishing the covenant. I'm going to open your eyes and I'm going to have a different understanding going on in the world. Look again at Hebrews chapter 8. At Hebrews chapter 8. And there he says, in those days, in verse 10, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. In other words, that's not your business. Oh, yes, it's your business to declare to them that they are to know the Lord, but don't take the next step and say, know the Lord, and we'll teach you, because that's implied here. Because God is saying, the business of getting people saved is totally my business. Totally my business. And any time that all through the church age, the churches unwittingly, their eyes had not been opened sufficiently to the real truth, and they were teaching, know the Lord, we'll show you how to know the Lord. We will set up the program so that you can know the Lord. And God is saying, no way. No, notice he's talking about, I will do this. I will do this. And it has nothing to do with what you are telling them what they have to do to know the Lord. Thank you for listening again to another Family Bible Study. Now we want to go out into our daily life and live in a way that is pleasing to God, even as we have learned the expectation of God for us as He has set forth His laws by which we are to live.